You have tuned in to Catholic Answers Live on your radio. Good to have you along this afternoon. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett, and you are with us. And our thanks again to Father Hugh Barber, a Norbertine from St. Michael's Abbey in Southern California. He is the chaplain at Catholic Answers. The chaplain was in, and he is in regularly for you to have access to on the program. And by a beautiful, perhaps it was intentional, but maybe it was just providential, we have a second Norbertine with us here joining us on the program, Father Sebastian Walsh. And he is going to be talking about gender and faith. And so there is very likely something you would like to contribute to our conversation here with a question, maybe a comment or a concern. Feel free to start dialing 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. And this is one of those places where the truth must be proclaimed, and yet there are people who are perhaps confused, a little bit misled, maybe very emotionally upset within themselves. And so we want to have a truthful conversation, but one, especially if there's anybody listening who maybe has questions about the birth gender that you have lived with your entire life. Maybe you have kids who are in that situation. Maybe you know somebody. We want to be able to talk compassionately and lovingly, but also, of course, always with the truth. Everything has to get down to the truth with love walking side by side in that. So 888-318-7884 is our number. Father Sebastian Walsh is originally from Pasadena, California. He's a Norbertine canon of the Abbey of St. Michael. As I mentioned, that is in the Diocese of Orange, California. He is a professor of philosophy for the seminary program. After completing his studies at Thomas Aquinas College in California, Father continued his studies at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., receiving a license in philosophy, and later he attended the Pontifical University of St. Thomas in Rome, the Angelicum, where he received a master's in sacred theology and a doctorate in philosophy. His thesis was entitled The Primacy of the Common Good as the Root of Personal Dignity in the Doctrine of St. Thomas Aquinas. And from 2003 to 2005, Father Sebastian was also a visiting professor in the philosophy department at the Angelicum there in Rome. Father, it's good to have you back on the program. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. It's good to be here. And to answer your question, it was just providential. I did not plan. I didn't know that Father Hugh would be the guest the first hour, so that just ended up providentially. And if you see him, if you wish him a happy name day, yesterday was the feast of Blessed Hugh of Foss, which is his patron. So, okay. So if you think of it, wish him a happy name day.
I will, or somebody else at Catholic Answers will, Father. I'm sure about that.
Great.
So again, phone lines are open, dear friends, right now, 888-318-7884. Maybe you're just sitting there listening going, I cannot believe in all of my lifetime that this conversation would ever have to happen on the radio, because it just really wasn't that long ago when this was maybe an issue, but it was far less of an issue than it is today, and very much more under the radar, and it certainly was not championed by the modern culture, if you will, the media, and so many different other cultural forces. And that is the gender confusion that we are seeing right now. So get on the line and let Father Sebastian help you if you got any questions. 888-318-7884. Father, let's just start with tying this into our Catholic faith, which of course is given to us by God. It all sort of, you got to back up all the way right to God Himself. What does gender have to do? Remember the old, I think it was a Tina Turner song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" What's gender got to do with it, Father?
Gender got to do with faith. Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I picked this topic for this show is because my experience as a priest has shown that many people who are practicing Catholics, who come to Mass even every Sunday, they wonder whether or not the questions about gender have anything to do with our faith. They don't see in the Bible, for example, any statements that Jesus makes or anyone else makes about having a sex change operation, because obviously those things didn't exist, and there are very few considerations of, what would it mean to identify it as a different gender or something like that. The gender questions didn't seem to be that important. And so a lot of people think that this is just an incidental thing that has no relation to the faith. So the first thing I wanted to do was just to manifest that gender has everything to do with the faith. And to do that, I want to take a step back to a prior consideration, and that is, how do we have access to the realities of heaven? How do we, you know, how do we glimpse into the inner life of God, into the reality of heaven and the things of heaven while we're still on this earth? And the answer is that Jesus has given us signs, you know, sacraments, sacred signs, not just the seven sacraments of the church, but other sacred signs, which are in some way revelatory or apt signs of the realities of the next life. And his parables are filled with things like that. He'll say the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, or the kingdom of God is like a landowner, or the kingdom of God is like a net cast into the sea, or etc. There's a whole bunch of different things he gives as analogies or apt signs for the realities of heaven. And the first time we saw some sort of inkling of this was in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, that Moses was granted a vision of heaven, a heavenly vision, and then he was supposed to set up the tabernacle according to the pattern he saw in his heavenly vision. And St. Paul makes reference to this in his epistle to the Hebrews. So Jesus is the only one who's actually seen God the Father and all the things of heaven. And therefore, we have to rely on Jesus's counsel, his instructions, on what aptly signifies things of heaven. We can't just make them up. You know, we can't just sit there and say, well, heaven's like this or heaven's like that. You and I and no one who's listening today has ever seen heaven or has seen God. And so we depend upon Jesus to tell us what he's like, and Jesus is going to use natural things, things like trees and mustard seeds and whatever, and fish. He's going to use these natural things to explain to us the things of heaven. Well, among the most important natural things that he used to explain the things of heaven are the genders of male and female. So, for example, when he revealed his relationship to his father, he revealed it in terms of a relationship of a father who has an only begotten son. So that involves the idea of masculinity, the father's masculine, the son is masculine, and it involves the idea of begetting, some kind of, you know, reproduction, some kind of begetting there. So the mystery of the Trinity, it turns out, is revealed in terms of gender in some way. And then we have the sacrament of marriage, and that sacrament is a sacred sign of the union, the relationship between God and his people, of Christ and his church. It's even a sacred sign of the union of the divinity and the humanity in the person of Jesus. You have two complementary elements which are united in such a way as to bring about or beget new life. And it turns out that a man and a woman united in marriage for the sake of bringing forth offspring is the most apt sign that Jesus could think of to tell us about the relationship between himself and his church. And then, of course, we have the sacrament of the priesthood. And the priest is supposed to act in the person of Christ. When a priest, for example, forgives your sins, he doesn't say, Jesus forgives your sins. He says, I absolve you of your sins. And when a priest confesses the Eucharist at Holy Mass, he doesn't say, this is Jesus' body. He says, this is my body. And so Jesus chose only men, again, male, female, these are things that are sacraments that Jesus has chosen, because only male persons are an apt sign of the person of Christ. Right? So it's in our a priest in his very masculinity, that's part of the way he's a sign in order to act in the person of Christ, a sign of these heavenly realities. And so these are things that are given to us, and in fact, God established the whole natural order precisely to be a reflection or a shadow of the heavenly realm. And so so it's really important that we respect the natural order, including the natural distinctions of male and female, insofar as these things are the signs, the best signs that God could give us of these supernatural realities. And I want to read to you a quote from C.S. Lewis. And years ago, decades ago, he wrote an essay on the question of female priests. And in that essay called God and the Doc, he had a section on female priests. And here's what he said. One of the ends for which sex was created was to symbolize to us the hidden things of God. It's the very point I made. We have no authority to take the living and semitive figures which God has painted on the canvas of our nature and shift them about as if they were mere geometrical figures. And with the church, we are farther in, for there we are dealing with male and female, not merely as facts of nature, but as alive and awful shadows of realities utterly beyond our control and largely beyond our direct knowledge. Or rather, we are not dealing with them, but as we shall soon learn if we meddle, they are dealing with us. So C.S. Lewis, a Protestant, decades ago could see the same reality. Male and female are necessary and essential signs of the principal mysteries of our faith, the principal realities which Jesus Christ came to reveal. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot there, Father, and thank you for presenting that in a way that is really, I think, easy to wrap our minds around. And we have a long way to go in this conversation, and we have people on the line already, so I'm going to have our first short little break right here, right now. But I want to invite others of you to call in at 888-318-7884. Our discussion with Father Sebastian Walsh is gender and faith, and really a special invitation for moms and dads, grandparents, anybody. If you've got a young person who is listening to the culture today, and maybe their peers, and perhaps they do have some emotional issues going on, and maybe they feel like they are, you know, one gender trapped in the body of another or something. These are some of the things that I think are confusing a lot of our young people today. Give us a call. But this is a conversation you really have to be well-versed in, unfortunately, in our day. And as I said, always in love, because this is each human person is created in the image and likeness of God and has a unique dignity, and we want to respect that always as we present the truth in love. So the number is 888-318-7884. I am Jerry Escher, in for Cy Kellett. And as we get set to take your calls in a minute, I want to remind you that Catholic Answers is offering you during Lent. Sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge to ask yourself and to come up with something, you know, what can I do this Lent that's going to make me really, truly, deep down inside, a better person? And we can give up things, we can abstain from things, we can do all, little practices, and those are all fantastic things. But one of the best things that we can do, really, is to know our faith better, because it transforms us interiorly and makes us better equipped to share that with others, because that's part of our baptism, the missionary mandate. And so during Lent and Easter, Catholic Answers is offering you the 20 Answers Challenge. Hundreds have already signed up, and you can do that right now. Here's how it works. When you purchase the sampler of all 32 books in the 20 Answers series, you're going to save 60% off the normal price. And you're going to get free shipping if you live in the continental U.S. And the challenge is this. There's 32 very, you know, reasonably sized books in this series. And Catholic Answers is challenging you to join the hundreds who have already signed up and work through them during this Lent and Easter season. You will be a better Catholic, a better person, better husband, father, what have you. So we're giving you free shipping, 60% off the normal price, and you can take the challenge by ordering your set today. It's a great way to build up your faith knowledge. You can do it at 888-291-8000 or shop.catholic.com. Keep in mind, we're talking about Lent and Easter already. You might be thinking, no, not yet. The new year just started. Well, Lent comes pretty early this year. March 6th is when it starts. So get a hold of your set today at Catholic.com or by phone at 888-291-8000.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support. On the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith. fallen away Catholic years and years ago, doing my own thing. And my mom and dad never gave up on me, and I know it was the Holy Rosary. And they kept after me, Philip, pray your rosary. And eventually I did. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata, Maximilian Kolbe's group. I'm with the Legion of Mary, and I haven't stopped leading the rosary in nursing homes, thanks be to God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Jerry Usher here for Cy Kelly. You can join me and Debbie Giorgiani weekdays at noon Eastern Time and midnight with an encore of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on many of these same EWTN affiliates. Good to have you with us with Father Sebastian Walsh talking about gender and faith. And we are going to go to your phone call, starting with Esther. Esther, thank you for calling Catholic Answers Live. And you're up first with Father Sebastian Walsh. Hello there.
Good evening, Father Sebastian and this gentleman that is with you too. My
Thank
name
you
is
very much.
Esther.
Good
at the age of 21, I have a sex change. I always knew since I was small. As a matter of fact, the country that I come from, one day when I was about probably 5-6 years old, I have this vision or this thought came to me, and I don't know how, I don't know if it was from God. I do believe it was from God, and he told me, you're going to New York to be a woman. I was about 5-6 years old. I didn't know nothing about nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about what is being a woman, about going to, I didn't even know where New York was. Mm-hmm. It happened that over the year I ended up in New York, because my lifestyle in my country, the way that I grew up, my mother took me to psychiatry. The psychiatrist told me it's nothing he can do. You don't have a son. You have a daughter. Mm-hmm. So with time I came to this country, and at the age of 21, I have my sex change. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be 67 next month. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am happy with my choice. I'm always been Catholic. My family never took me to church, but I'm always been Catholic. I always loved the Virgin. I always loved God. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I believe in them. And and I have seen a lot of miracles happening to me.
Yes.
But the thing here is, I used to watch Mother Angelica on the TV years ago. And I would just flip channels, because another religious channel. Then I switch channels into the Spanish channels on cable. And I started watching Mother Angelica, and she light my fire. She turned me, I've always been Catholic and always been faithful, but she really turned me into a Catholic.
Yes.
I start going to church more, confession. I confess all my sins. To tell you, I don't have that many sins. I know I don't have that many sins right now. I have few sins, like, you know, maybe a little vanity, chopping.
Mm-hmm. Esther, if you don't mind if I jump in here, just for the sake of time, dear, we have a lot of calls that we want to get to. Is there, if you can kind of boil down, you know, your question or your thought for Father Sebastian, I'm sure he'd be happy to help you.
I'm, like I said, I'm doing so many things, Father, to be close to God. Sometimes I have what I would call black nights. Black nights when my mind is trying to do the right thing and it moves into the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. It's like thoughts comes to my head that almost like they're not supposed to be there. And I battle with that. Is God accepting everything that I'm doing? Because everything that I'm doing comes from my heart. Everything that I'm doing, I'm good to my neighbors. I'm going to whoever needs me.
All right. Let me speak to that. First of all, going to church, going to confession, doing works of charity, of course God accepts all those things. He's very happy that you're trying to do all of those things. Those are things he's commanded for us to do, right? And therefore, of course, he wants you to do those things. So if you're asking, is he accepting the fact that you're going to church, is he accepting the fact that you're going to confession, is he accepting those things? Of course, all those things are acceptable to God. He wants you to do those things, okay? So if that's what you're asking, yes. Now, with regard to the other question, did God, if you're asking, is God pleased that you had a sex change operation, unless you were a case of someone who, as a child, was there are rare cases of people who are called hermaphrodites. So these are people who they're born with both organs, and at birth sometimes they're assigned a gender that isn't necessarily what their biological gender is because of some sort of a mistake that's made. Unless you were a case like that, if you were someone who was born and was clear that you were born with as a male, then that's how God liked you. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. He was very happy with you as a male. And so I don't know if are you doing anything to keep yourself, like are you taking hormones constantly throughout your life, or what are you doing as far as that's concerned?
Well, no, doctor, I stopped taking hormones a few years ago.
Okay, so you're not taking hormones anymore, and there's nothing you can do as far as a reversal of the sex change operation. That's not reversible. So from that perspective, I guess I could say that you can certainly, have you ever brought this up in confession where you've talked to the priest about the fact you had a sex change?
Yes, he knows. He knows everything.
Okay. Fine. So that's fine. If you bring it up with a priest and hopefully he'll give you good sound instruction, and God loves you with all your problems and all the difficulties you have, okay? He never rejects anyone who comes to him. Jesus said, "I will never reject anyone who comes to me," okay? And you're not doing anything to reject your birth sex anymore by taking hormones or something like that. So from that perspective, then I think you can be at peace, okay, with regard to that. Now, tell me this. I mean, I assume that you're just sort of single, living on your own. Is that right or no?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have any family or friends that you see on a regular basis?
I have friends. I have people that I know. Yes.
Okay. All right, so it's important to keep up those relationships and to try and be healthy in that regard. And you can pray, and you can ask the Lord, "Lord Jesus, if you were happy with me, if you intended to make me a little boy when I was first a little kid, then I just ask you to help me to see your will in that. If that's what you wanted for me, if you didn't make a mistake when you made me, help me to understand that better, because obviously I didn't understand it in my youth, you know." So you can pray the Lord and talk to him about that, and hopefully that'll give you more clarity and light. And you keep on going to church, you keep on going to confession, and gradually, hopefully, God's will just become more and more clear to you, okay?
All right, Esther, I hope that helps. Again, as I mentioned at the end of last hour, if you were listening, maybe you weren't, but I'll tell you now, Catholic Answers has a full staff of people who could talk with you. If you desire to do so off the air at a greater length, that number is 619-387-7200, 619-387-7200. You go with our prayers, and we ask that you keep us in your prayers as well. It sounds like you're staying very close to God and the church, Esther. Thank you for that. Okay, Anonymous in Boston, listening on AM 1060, Station of the Cross, is on with Father Sebastian Walsh. Hello, Anonymous. Oh, Anonymous just dropped. Here's the number to call back, 888-318-7884. Tell you what, we got a break coming up. So Tony and Melissa, hang on. We're going to get to both of you in just a moment. But Father, that Esther's call, I think, brings up something very important that maybe we can spend just about a minute and a half or so on here and get into it a little bit more later. But, it gets down to the question of, treating people with gender dysphoria as if their feelings don't matter, or if we encounter someone who has had a sex change operation. It could be certainly uncomfortable, but there has to be a compassion and an understanding, while at the same time, as you just exhibited, explaining it truthfully.
Yeah. Of course, there's all sorts of difficulties that come with this, and no one, wants to change their gender lightly. In other words, anyone who has a desire to change their gender and is willing to go through a surgery to do it and take hormones and do all those things to their body is obviously very deeply, they feel very strongly about and have very deep feelings. Often people with gender dysphoria have very deep depression and things like that. And they're subjectively convinced that they're a mistake, you know, that their sex was a mistake, that they should have been male when they were female or vice versa. And one of the things I try to do is I try to convince them that they're not a mistake, you know. Their emotions can be a mistake, but we live in a culture right now where people think that what's real is the way they feel, their emotions, when in fact their emotions are things that are, you know, largely mutable, and the most superficial thing about us are our emotions. You know, what's deeper than that are our choices, and even deeper than that is our nature. So it's important that we try to help them change their mind, not their bodies.
Yeah. Father Sebastian Walsh is here with us this hour talking about gender and faith on Catholic Answers Live. As promised, we'll go to Tony next in Petoskey, Michigan. Melissa is in Iowa. And if you would like to join us, 888-318-7884. Stay around for more of the program.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture's moral center continues to fly apart and with every form of deviance publicly aired and celebrated, we have no choice but to equip our kids to understand about such issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. Silence can no longer be an option. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn. A comprehensive look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture that offers clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. Don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
And we have with us Father Sebastian Walsh. He is a Norbertine from St. Michael's Abbey in El Toro, Diocese of Orange, California. Talking today about gender and faith, 888-318-7884 is the phone number to call. Tony has waited very, very patiently in Petoskey, Michigan. You're up next, listening on Barriga Radio. Hi, Tony. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Tony. What's
All
your
right,
question?
So I have a quick question. I work as, number one, as a music director for a Catholic church, and I love it. Born and raised Catholic, it's great. However, half of my income is writing music for concert halls, you know, orchestras, ensembles, operas, video games, movies, whatever, you name it. The issue that I run into is that the new music industry is very much, it's inherently liberal. Most people that I work with see the culture and see the world so far from what I see. They don't mm-hmm. see the views of traditional marriage that I do. They think of more than just two genders. And so what I run into is I'm always feel like I'm walking on thin ice. I love the people. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I will love working with the people. I'm very nice to them. I will respect mm-hmm. them. But we see things very differently. And so I wonder, though, because then I see things on Twitter and social media where they butcher just gender and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I want to say something, but then I also get afraid of, well, am I going to lose a job, or am I going to lose a gig because of my own belief? And so then I wonder, yeah, am I doing a disservice to the church, sure, by not saying anything? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me say something about that. My experience has been that arguments that happen over the internet are rarely effective. Sometimes they happen. Usually the things that are on the internet that are effective is when someone's already searching and they're looking for an answer to a question. They go to a place like Catholic Answers. But when someone else just intercepts them and kind of initiates an argument, like on Twitter or over email or something like that even, or Facebook or one of those social media sites, that those arguments rarely bear fruit and conversion and a change of thinking. What is more likely to bear fruit is personal one-on-one human communication where you're just talking to them one-on-one, okay? So I guess my first advice is I don't know that it's going to be particularly helpful to go on the internet, on Twitter, on one of these social media things and start a public argument, you know? I think that if you do want to talk about these things, you should just talk to particular individuals and then just talk to them one-on-one in a private context where there's no, where they don't feel threatened, where they don't feel like there's a public dimension to the discussion. And that way, you know, it's not so much it doesn't become, mixed up with all the dimension of having a public debate or something. So that's the first thing I would recommend. And there are times when you can prudentially judge whether or not someone is going to be possibly open to a discussion about something or they're not. And there's also times when you can judge whether or not someone is kind of going on the offensive and kind of being kind of more aggressive on their side, in which case there comes a moral duty now to defend the faith against an attack or something like that. So I would say the people that you should sit down and actually have a talk one-on-one with, just face-to-face, would be either A, people who you think would at least would be open-minded enough to hear and to have a reasonable discussion about it, or B, people who you've seen, for example, on the internet or in other contexts, who have attacked in a sort of a very sort of public and straightforward way some teachings of the Church of the Faith. And then those people, you can set them aside and just say, I'm a Catholic, and that I want you to understand that what you did was an attack on my faith, and I'd like to be able to explain to you the beliefs of the Church and why we hold it. Would you be willing to talk to me about that? And at least, you know, that way you're doing your duty in a case like that. Does that make sense as a kind of a procedure to go through?
It does. Yeah, no, it definitely does. And that's very helpful, because it's challenging when, you know, when it's like partly my career and partly my income, yeah, for my wife and
right.
myself.
No, I understand. And that's another reason why it's not necessarily the best thing to go on a public debate or something, because now it becomes this whole public issue. But, you know, if it comes down to defending your faith against someone who in your presence or somehow has made it known to you their attacks on the faith, then I do think that you have to overcome your fear of losing, you know, monetary gain. That's the first Christians had to deal with the same thing, you know. So there is a point at which, you know, you just say, well, you attack my faith in a way that's, you know, that needs a response, and even if it's going to result in me losing a contract or a gig, as you say, sometimes you have to do that. But you don't have to sort of go around picking fights, you know what I mean?
All right, Tony. Thanks for joining us. We'll keep you in our prayers, Tony, and thanks. It's a legitimate concern. And keep up the good work that you're doing, especially, you know, doing it in a godly manner and for the church as you have been. Thanks, Tony, for the call. Appreciate that. Gender and Faith, our topic with Father Sebastian Walsh. And we'll go to a Melissa in listening on Iowa Catholic Radio next. Hi, I'm Melissa. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Hi.
Yep. Go right ahead. You're on with Father Walsh.
I kind of have two questions.
Okay.
So are you saying that if they they're transgender, so when they change their gender, that God's not okay with that?
Okay, let me address that question first. First, I want to address the question about changing one's gender. In fact, a sex change operation is a misnomer. It's not what's happening. When a person undergoes an operation and they take hormones, for example, they're not actually changing their DNA in such a way that they now have female DNA when they had male DNA or vice versa. Every cell in their body is still male or female, the original gender that they were born with. What they're doing is they're either mutilating their body or somehow adding something to it. Usually a woman has to have her breasts removed or a man has his genitals removed. So they end up mutilating their body and reconfiguring it, but that doesn't make them, you know, a man or a woman any more than if you carve a shrub at Disneyland into an elephant. It doesn't make a bush an elephant. It's just giving someone the outward shape that we tend to identify with a man or a woman, or making their shape closer to what we'd look, you know, we'd say a man looks like on the outside or a woman looks like on the outside. So the first thing is there isn't such a thing as a sex change, is the point. They can only, the only thing that's possible is to have an operation that makes their appearance look more like the opposite sex or something. And then the answer is, well, yes, God is not making them as a mistake. You know, when God made them with their gender, male or female, he intended them to be that way. That wasn't a mistake by God. And so he doesn't want them to reject themselves. He wants them to accept themselves and to love themselves the way he made them. And God's never pleased when someone rejects themselves and doesn't love themselves the way he made them. So that's so the answer to your question is no, God's not pleased with that.
Okay, you had something else?
There's no place in the Bible. At the same time, no place in the Bible does it say that, though. Or, like, gays, it doesn't say anything bad about gays or anything like that.
Can I address that? In the Bible, it says he made them male and female, so it specifically says that God willed the diversity of the sexes, right? And he intended male and female as genders, and he said it was good when he made them male and female. So the Bible does say that it's good when he creates people male or female. And then the Bible does speak very clearly on several places against homosexual activity. There are probably a dozen references in the New Testament that are clear condemnations of homosexual activity. So that's just a mistaken reading of the Bible. If, you know, you could read, for example, in the first chapters of Romans about it. Multiple places in the Bible do you find condemnations of homosexual activity. There's not condemnations of people of same-sex attraction. That's true. But there are condemnations of homosexual activity, as of any of fornication and, you know, adultery, all sorts of any kind of thing like that is found in the Bible as well.
Right, but at the same time, God is supposed to love all of his children, and no matter what we do, he has unconditional love for us. So if that's the case...
Absolutely, that's
then,
right.
But then at the pearly gates, we're not allowed to judge. It's God who should judge, right?
Yes, that's right. God is going to judge each one of us. That's right. Now, if he loves... Now, I presume I hear a child in the background. I presume you love your children, don't you?
Yeah, some days.
So you love your children. So when your child puts his finger in the light socket, and you tell the child no, don't do that, is that judging or is that not loving them?
No, but you're judging by saying, I feel like people judge when they say gays aren't right, like God doesn't love gays or God's against gays.
Okay, no one has said God doesn't love gays. What I am saying is that God has condemned homosexual activity, just like he's condemned fornication and adultery. You know, everyone's born with original sin, and that means practically everyone has an inclination to some sexual disorder like adultery or fornication. But we don't say that. So we don't say that their identity is an adulterer and God hates all people that feel attracted to adultery. or God hates all people that are feel attracted to fornication. And we don't say that God hates all people that are attracted to people of the same sex. God loves everyone, but he doesn't approve of every action, especially the actions that are going to harm us and make us, you know, take us farther from him and prevent us from loving him. So we're just saying that God does not want us to do things that will make us unhappy and will harm us, and included among the list of things that would harm us and make us unhappy would be homosexual actions. And that's not judging someone's soul, it's just making an objective statement about what an action, you know, what actions are good or bad. That's just commandments of God.
Melissa, I want to thank you for the call. We got to move on that note because we got a short break here, and Tom and Teresa have very, very important questions for Father Sebastian. I would just encourage you, Melissa, and I mean this in all love, please consider the sources where you're ingesting information and opinions and so forth. There's just a lot of misinformation in the culture today, and you know, you've said a lot of things that really the church doesn't hold, and God does not hate same-sex attracted people and transgender. There's just a lot of misinformation, and the cultural message out there, unfortunately, is the one that's being proclaimed at many times far more loudly than the truthful message. So just that's just my loving admonition to you, dear sister, is to consider, you know, when you hear something, just weigh it. Just weigh it. You know, the Bible says discern everything. And we just invite you to do that because there is truth out there, and you sound like a very sincere person. And we're glad that we could help you here. And feel free to call the office and talk with one of our staff at further length if you'd like at 619-387-7200. All right, Tom and Teresa. Lisa, hang on. We are going to get to both of you. You know, the 20 Answers Challenge, here it's time again. Lent starts unbelievably in, what is it, about 3 weeks from Wednesday, if my math is right. It's coming up soon on March 6th. And Catholic Answers is issuing you the 20 Answers Challenge. Already hundreds and hundreds of people have signed up. Will you be joining them this year? And it works this way. Catholic Answers has the 20 Answers series. There are 32 books in all, and if you order the entire set right now, don't worry, you're going to save a pile of money, 60% off the normal price and free shipping in the continental United States. So that is a doubly good deal, and it's even better because now you have these resources to help you. And the challenge is this. During Lent and Easter, folks, that's a lot of time. That's, what, about 90 days or so? Easy to make your way through these 32 books. You're going to come away better. You're going to be a better apologist, defender, explainer of the faith. And the 20 Answers series includes moral questions like the ones we're talking about today, plus Mary, the Pope, the sacraments, the Bible, so many other topics. It's like a well-rounded buffet that you could, you know, you want to give up, maybe give up a little bit of food for Lent. Well, how about spiritual food? You can feast on the 20 Answers Challenge during Lent and Easter. So sign up today. Join the hundreds who have at shop.catholic.com or 888-291-8000. More of your calls for Father Sebastian Walsh on gender and faith are straight ahead.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
All right, without further delay, we're going to go right back to your calls. Jerry Usher for Cy Kellett today with Father Sebastian Walsh on gender and faith. And Teresa, hang on. We're going to do our best to get to you. Tom got in right before you. We're listening to Guadalupe Radio Network in Dallas. Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for Father Sebastian. Thanks for having... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thanks for taking my call and having this great session and these taking questions. I tell you, it's feel like at times I'm having a nightmare. Our son has told us that he's transgender. He's going through, I guess, the hormone treatments.
Yeah.
We're not sure exactly how far down the road he is with this, but
sure.
The question really that my wife and I have is that, you know, we've told him that we can't see him other than who he is, right? The young man that we raised in the Catholic faith, and, you know, society has gotten so sideways with all of this that somehow along the way, a few years ago, he I don't know what the word is, right? Whether he's transformed or he in his mind got sideways with all of this. And so but it's been about 8 months now, and he's cut me off from any text messages or phone calls. But
sure.
We basically not accepted what the path he's going down. So is the unconditional love that we're supposed to have, is that something that we're not displaying? If we are saying we will not accept you for anybody other than who you truly are, and,
yeah.
You know, is that unconditional love, and how do we deal with this whole thing? Because we've also prayed for, you know, his soul to be saved, for the grace of God to come down upon him,
sure.
to change
yeah.
the direction he's going. And it's been eight okay. months now, and we've said the,
sure.
the rosary every night, and I'm not sure.
Okay, let me say a couple of things about that. First of all, you know, you're a victim of the culture, first of all. This sort of thing never would have happened 10 years ago. Your son, if we were in a healthier culture, would have thought, well, I have a problem that needs to be fixed, and the problem isn't my mom and dad, the problem is in me. But the culture has told him, no, the problem is mom and dad, you know. So you're a victim of the culture, and if anyone says there aren't victims of this kind of transgender culture, you're living proof of the opposite. So there's some things you can't do from the standpoint of, you know, you can't change his thought if he's constantly immersed himself in the culture there. You can. It's important that you tell him, look, you're our son. We'll support you financially. We're not going to cut you off and not give you food and clothing. Just think of the father in the parable of the prodigal son. He gave him his needs for life. So we're obviously going to accept you, and you can live in our home and whatever else if you need to. But we're not going to call you she. We're not going to we're not going to reject you even if you reject yourself. You got to put it that way. Instead of saying we're not going to accept you for who you are, we're going to say no, we're not going to reject you, because even if you reject yourself, even if you don't like the way you are, we love the way you are. We were happy that God gave us a son, and we're not going to reject you even if you reject yourself. So that would be the way to put it. And again, you know, provide for him the things that he needs if he ever comes in contact with you again. A helpful book to read, there's a book by Ryan Anderson called When Harry Became Sally. It's about transgenderism. And one of the points he makes there is that transgender people think that they're going to be made happy by having a sex change and hormone treatments. And the fact of the matter is the suicide rate for those after they go through a sex change is almost 20 times higher than the general population. So it doesn't solve anyone's problems. For the most part, exacerbates them and makes them worse. And so you, at least you can hope that, you know, your son eventually might, like the prodigal son, might realize, I feel more miserable than I did before I had this, did these hormone treatments or had the surgery. And perhaps there's a chance that in a sadness he'll come back to you and you can welcome him back. But in no way is it uncharitable or unloving to say, no, we're not going to reject your masculinity even if you do. Okay?
What do you think,
Tom?
Does
that make sense? Yeah.
So that unconditional love, then, we still love him for who he is, right? But
yes,
not
for
who
he wants
to be, I guess.
Exactly. That's right. You wouldn't do the same thing if you wanted to be a billy goat either.
Yeah, and Tom, what I can assure you right now, knowing Catholic radio listeners, especially Catholic Answers Live listeners, you said you are praying the rosary every night for them, and now you have certainly a global audience praying for your son and for you and your wife and your family, and you can be assured of those prayers. And I'm glad, Father, that you referenced the prodigal son, Tom, because there's always hope. There is always hope, and our prayers are very, very powerful, and God wants us to live happily in his plan for our lives way more than we do. So, Tom, you have a lot of our prayers. Thanks for calling. I want to get to Teresa in Portland, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. We got about 3 minutes, Teresa, but I wanted to try and let Father help you out a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a 12-year-old granddaughter that has sexual dysphoria.
Yeah.
And she was never baptized Catholic, but I keep talking to her about it. My son was, he's her father, but he's rejected the faith. But anyway, she says she doesn't want to come to church because she knows God doesn't approve of her now with these feelings going on, and I kind of want to know what I can say to her.
Yes. Well, the first thing you can tell her is that God doesn't reject her because of feelings, okay? In fact, God doesn't even reject her because of actions. But it's possible for her to reject God because of actions. So it's important that people realize that it's not God rejecting us, it's us rejecting God by our actions. So you can tell her, you know, Jesus said, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so whatever she's done, whatever, you know, however she feels, whatever, Jesus always wants her to come to him, okay? So you can explain that to her, okay, right away. Then the second thing is, with regard to this, sometimes when people are young like that, the gender dysphoria is something that they actually get over, but sometimes it's not. And there are people that help in therapy for gender dysphoria that can help. There are people that can do things that are helpful. Not all cases are necessarily easily helped. And especially if the person doesn't want to be helped, that really is an impediment there to their reconciling their emotions with their bodies. But again, in some sense, you're, as a grandparent, you're not proximately in a position to care for her. You can only give her counsel and advice. So my advice to you is to just be compassionate and loving. Tell her that you're not, you know, you'd never reject her, that you are happy with how she is, you're happy that you have a granddaughter, that she's not a mistake, that God loved her when he made her a girl, and so forth, you know, just to try and reinforce the idea that she's not a mistake. And that might, hopefully, that sense of that you accept her for who she really is, may be something that she responds to. And hopefully she'll be one of those who's able to grow out of this, as sometimes happens. So,
yeah. And as we said with Tom, Teresa, you will go with our prayers. And, you know, perhaps a little bit of additional solace or encouragement for you is the fact that, you know, how many 12-year-old boys or girls don't have a family member who is so, you know, in tune with this and so caring and concerned. And obviously, I'm sure you're spending a lot of time in prayer for your precious little granddaughter, as we will as well. So she's a lucky girl to have you, and you can thank God for that, and just trust in the Lord, and we'll be with you in prayer on that. Father, it's up against the clock here. It seems like, you know, we just barely get started, but I know this is a conversation. I'm sure you're all too aware that this is a conversation that's going to be ongoing for a long time. Just in 30 seconds, you know, maybe a lot of, you know, devout, well-intentioned Catholics might be thinking, you know what, this isn't impacting me, so I'm not going to learn about it. I'm not going to be up on it. I don't think I need to converse in this conversation. But I think we all need to, you know, just sharpen our tools a little bit and be able to at least have this conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as I said, these are matters, male and female, are the signs that God has given us for the principal mysteries of our faith. And therefore, to not understand this aspect of our faith is to fail to understand, you know, the deepest parts of our faith. And this is where Satan is attacking the church right now, and we need to defend the church.
Father, we get a quick blessing from you, please.
Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis et Omnem Sanctorum, benedictio de omnipotentis Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et mani et semper. Amen.
Amen. Father Sebastian Walsh, thank you. You go with our prayers as well. And thanks so much for being a part of the program on a regular basis. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. And thank you for hosting today.
You are welcome. Cy Kellett is out on the cruise. I'm Jerry Escher. I'll be in several times this week. Don't forget the 20 Answers Challenge. Go to shop.catholic.com or call 888-291-8000. 60% off the 32 books in the 20 Answers series, free shipping, and take the challenge. Work your way through them between Lent and Easter. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless.